Wonderful to see everybody out this morning. Always great to come together, come out and study God's Word. Hope that everyone's been edified, encouraged, uplifted, as we've already gone throughout part of our service, singing songs, remembering the Lord's sacrifice, and as we went through our classes this morning. As we continue to go through class, as we gather every Sunday and Wednesday, and hopefully as we study at home, we're constantly studying the Word of God, and as we study the Word of God, there comes the question of acting upon what we hear, acting upon the Word of God as we listen to it. We just got done with our gospel meeting last week, having Brother Johnny Edwards down and presenting the Word of God as we listen to it. Do we act upon the words that we hear? And that's what I want to talk about this morning, acting upon what we hear. Of course, first point to bring out, it is acting upon hearing what? Hearing the Word of God. So if you open up your Bibles and turn along with me to Romans 10 and verse 17, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, there it tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have to be willing to search the Scriptures. We have to be willing to open up our Bibles and study it. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, there's where it tells us that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. And so therefore, we have to be willing to search the Scriptures because it has everything that we need, everything in order to teach, everything in order to rebuke one another, everything to improve ourselves as we continue to study and know right from wrong, that we may be complete, that we know what the work of God is and how it should be done and where it should be done at. And so we have to be willing to search the Scriptures, open up the Bible and study it. Because if we do not search the Scriptures, if we do not listen to the Word of God or hear the Word of God, then how can we know how to act? How can we know how we're supposed to be living our lives? What it is that saves us? How it is we're supposed to go through our worship in the Word of God? In Romans 10 and verse 14, going up a few verses, because as you read, starting back in verse 8 throughout verse 13, talking about how we are saved by our confession, saved by the words that we're willing to confess. But verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And just that point of how can we hear, how can we believe, how can we go forth and confess our faith in our Lord and Savior? How can we sit here and say that we love God, we love Jesus, that we are Christians, and yet we don't open up our Bibles and study, and yet we do not search the Scriptures and come together in Bible class and hearing the lesson being preached? How can we have a faith if we do not hear the Word of God? How can we? How is it that our children are supposed to know what to do if we don't tell them what to do? And so that's what it comes down to. How can God expect us to do something if he has not given us the Word? But the thing is he has. He has given us his Word. It's the question now of whether or not we are hearing. Because once we've told our children what they should do, after we have told our children, instructed them, and gave them details on what needs to be done, now they're without excuse. Now they have it. And the only thing they need to obey. It's the same thing for us today. God has given us his Word. God has instructed us. He has commanded us. He has given us his Word. It's up to us to be willing to search these things and listen to the Word of God. And Acts chapter 8 and verse 31 gives us an example as the eunuch is going down the road, heading on his way, and as Philip comes and approaches the chariot, approaches him to see what it is he is reading, it says here in verse 31, it says, and he says to him, how can I, or go back to verse 29. 29 says, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. So Philip ran to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. As he is reading the scriptures, he is studying the Word of God. And then as he's studying the Word of God, he's asking someone to help guide him, to teach him, to instruct him what these things are meaning. Because as he reads through it, he gets caught up. And who is he speaking about? Himself or another? And from that passage, Philip goes forward to teach Jesus unto him. And so it's not necessarily that we always have to have a teacher. We can open up our Bibles at home. We can study the scriptures, and we should be willing to ask questions as we come together and search them. But we have to be able to hear the Word of God. We have to be willing to listen to His words. But I have the question of what do we do after we've heard the Word of God be preached? After we've studied it at home, after we've gone through our class and searched the scriptures and brought out points together and come to an understanding of what God wants us to do. So we just went through, of course, going through 1 Samuel. We're going to get a lot of examples of good and bad, looking at Eli and his sons on things we should not be doing, looking at others and using them as examples of how we should be acting, the faith that we should have. We also went through and studied 2 Peter and went through and adding to your faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, kindness, love. As we look at those things, and the question though is, yes, we all spoke on it. We all taught on it. We all went through and read those scriptures and applied other scriptures with it to see how it is. It's supposed to be used, how we're supposed to be applying that to our lives. But then, did we do that? Did we apply this to our faith? Did we apply these things to our hearts? We went through our gospel meeting just recently, and we went through and heard a lesson on Psalm 119 and him pointing out a few things throughout that psalm about the Word of God, about the Bible. We went through a lesson on this is who we are, who we should be, and how we should be acting, and how we should not be ashamed to be called Christians, not be ashamed of the Word of God, and went through a lesson on how the church grows and when it grows, and went and studied throughout the book of Acts and saw the examples that caused the church to grow, and went through a lesson on why so few find the narrow way and understanding how it is we want to make sure we don't go off that direction, make sure we're searching the Scriptures truthfully and listening to the Word of God above the word of men. Write things about the Church of Christ again, because even Brother Edwards pointed out that it, just because it wears the title does not mean it's a faithful congregation, that they can veer off and go astray, start teaching errors, start doing wrong things, and make sure that we are doing it the right way. In the last lesson, it's our choice. And that's where it really comes down to is, are you going to accept these things that are taught? Because as the end of the lesson, how many got up, went and shook Brother Edwards' hand, or went by him, said thank you for the lesson, told him he'd done a good job, shook your heads, nodding along with the lesson as he was preaching, and then as you get to home, what do we do? Do we pray about those things? Do we apply them to our faith? Do we act upon what it is has been taught, what we have heard from the Word of God? As we go forth and are told we need to be Christians every day and not just on Sunday and Wednesday night, that we act as Christians as we go out into the world, do we do that? As we go forth and we preach about kindness, are we kind to one another? We preach about mercy and forgiveness. Do we go forth and forgive those who have done us wrong? Forgive those who have sinned against us? As we preach about hospitality, do we go forth and see who it is we can invite over, or who it is that we can go and visit? When we go forth and we preach about these things and we teach these things and we hear it and we see the book, the chapter, the verse, do we apply those to our faith? Do we apply them to our actions? So often we get caught up in saying, yes, that is a good lesson. Yes, that is something we need to do. Yes. And sometimes we get other people put in our minds, oh, they needed to hear that lesson and they needed to hear that lesson and they needed to hear that lesson. And then we sit there and we forget to apply things to our life. Thinking about what it is I need to hear, what it is I need to do, how it is I can take this lesson and the Word of God and apply it to my life, apply it to my faith, and do as the Lord has commanded us to do. We can quote scriptures, But do we follow these scriptures? We have to be willing to act upon our faith, act upon the things that we hear through the Word of God. Be willing to do the work. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. You turn along with me there. Many probably know what these verses are saying. And starting in verse 13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So as we read these scriptures, and it brings out the point that we are to be the light of the world, that you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And therefore we take the Lord's light because He is light, right? John 1, verse 1, you go throughout that first chapter and see that He is the light of the world. We are take His light and go shine it into the darkness. We see all the different things that are just, you know, listen off, being kind, loving, merciful, forgiving, hospitable, that we look at these things and see how they apply to the Lord, and that we are supposed to be Christ-like, that we're supposed to be taking His doctrine and teaching it to others. And so He says, you are the light of the world. But what good is that light if we just put it under a basket? When God added you to His kingdom, He did not add you to His kingdom, to His church, so that you could go and hide. So that no one could see the light that He has put inside of you. So no one could see the grace that He has blessed you with. So no one could see the love that He has shown you. He has given you a light so that you will go forth and shine that light unto others. In Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And you read verse 14. It says, "Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed, and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works." Because He says, what good is it to be the salt of the earth if you do not produce any flavor? What good is it to God to have you to wear the title of a Christian, wear the title as a child of God, and yet you never produce any flavor to the rest of the world? You never show that kindness and love. You're not willing to forgive those who've done you wrong. What good does it do but to God to take you and throw you out? That's why we, you know, if this has no flavor, it doesn't mean no good, it does not taste any good, we're going to toss it out. It's no more worth anything. Not worth anything anymore. So what good does it do? We have to be willing to act upon hearing the Word of God and applying that to our faith, applying that to our belief, and then going and doing. Not just quoting these scriptures. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. If you turn along with me there. James chapter 2. And you can read starting in verse 14 all the way throughout verse 26. And it goes forth and talks about our faith and works here. But I want to pick up in verse 14 and read just down to verse 22. It says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him?" Again, here it asks it itself, right here in the Word of God, can faith save him? If you just proclaim to have faith and you do not act upon it, yeah, I believe God is good. Yes, I believe God is love. Yes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, I believe we should be hospitable. Yes, I believe we should be merciful. Yes, I believe we should be forgiving. And then yet you never forgive anyone. And yet, you never go and do anything with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You never do anything with the stranger that comes and visits. You never... What good does that do? You proclaim that, yeah, that sounds good and sounds like things we should be doing, but yet we don't do it. And that's what it brings out here in verse 15. It says, "If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith, by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Again, here. It's just that point that if you proclaim to have faith, but yet you go back into the world, and you never bring up Jesus to anybody. You don't act like a Christian. You don't show kindness. You're not producing any kind of light. You're not working as unto the Lord. You're willing to talk down about others. Talk behind other people's backs. You're willing to go forth and just live like the rest of the world. What does your work say about your faith? How much faith do we truly have? Verse 19, it says, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Even Satan believes and trembles. Even the other demon, we can study the word of God. Let's go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see that Jesus, as he lived his life here, demons would confess who he was as he approached. They acknowledged who he was. They knew who our Lord was. That did not mean they were saved. They knew who he was. They knew what they should have been doing. That does not save us. Even Satan was able to quote scriptures to Jesus as he tempted him. That does not make him faithful. Just because we know what the Word of God says, just because we have heard it and we can quote it, does not make us faithful. We have to be willing to act upon our faith, willing to apply these things to our faith. Again, what good would it have done? Going to David and Goliath, what good would it have done? David comes to feed his brothers. He hears the giant, hears Goliath sitting there defying the army of Israel. And of course, David goes forth and starts talking to the other men. What will become of the man who stands against this Philistine, who defies the armies of Israel? Well, you know, word gets around to his brother. Brother gets mad. Word gets around to King Saul, and Saul brings David to him. And he says, what are you saying about this? Well, why are you talking so loud? And David says, well, someone's got to. All right, David, you go take care of it. Oh, no, not me. That's not for me. That's pretty much what everybody else does. Everybody else is just waiting for someone else to stand up. Everybody else was waiting for someone else to take care of the problem. We got 2 more Sundays, 3 more Wednesdays in this quarter. From what I saw this morning, someone might have signed up, but between the times I looked, but there was no one signed up for teaching classes. And bet most of us might sit there and say, that person would be a good teacher. That person would be a good teacher. Are we willing to step up ourselves? We can go through in our study of elders and deacons and say, yes, that's something that church needs. Do we have that desire, though? Again, that first qualification that we look at, do we have a desire to step up and lead our brethren? We have neighbors, we have co-workers, we have people that you go to school with and we see daily. Do we ever bring up our Lord and Savior to him? To go and spread the Word of God as one of the lessons, the church growing. Are we doing our part to help the church grow spiritually, physically? Doing our part and studying and being prepared for class so that we can bring out some comments to help us understand the Word of God. Because if we sit back and sit here and just say, yes, that sounds good, that's the way it should be done, but then we don't do anything. Again, it's easy to get caught up in. I can get caught up in it, do from time to time, but sit here and I can even put the lesson together and preach it on myself and miss out. Talking the talk, but not walking the walk. We have to be willing to act upon our faith, act upon what the Scriptures say. When we read it and study it and see what it says, we have to be willing to apply it to our faith. Go to James chapter 1 with me. James chapter 1. Verse 21, it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away immediately, and forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Here, just, it gives us the example. It tells us one who looks in the mirror. He looks in the mirror and he realizes what needs to be done. You know, notices your hair is messed up. Notices your makeup's messed up. Notice what needs to be clean. You know, you got something on the side of your mouth from eating and you need to wipe it off. And then you walk away and you forget to do anything about it. You forget that you walk. We read the Bible. We search the scriptures. We read. It says, cast off all filthiness, all things of the world. Be transformed into the image of God. And yet, do we do it? We read about it and say, yeah, I need to start doing that. And then we walk away and we simply forget what it is we saw, what it is we read, how it is we should be living our lives. Don't be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word, willing to act upon what it is you've heard through the scriptures. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning to any who need to obey the gospel. If you're here and you've heard the truth, you understand who Jesus is. You understand that He is the Son of God. You understand that He died for your sins, and the only way to reach the blood of Christ is to be baptized, immersed in the water with your faith that He will keep His promise and wash your sins away. We ask you, why do you delay any longer? Why put that off? You've heard it. You believe it. Won't you be willing to confess your faith, to repent of your sins, to be baptized and wash your sins away? If you're here and you've obeyed the gospel and you need the prayers of the congregation, if there's anything we can do for you, will you let it be known as we stand and sing? There is